In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So often in the Christian tradition, the world or the worldly has been seen as bad, to be avoided, a sight of sin and temptation. And yet here in John's Gospel is a central statement of the Christian faith that offers us a very different way of thinking about the world. The world is imperfect, yes, but it is not condemned. It is the chosen place of God's love, and the nature of that love is disclosed by Jesus in his life and death. So what does this mean for us? I think it's something like this. Living the Christian life is always a negotiation between striving after the highest ideals of love and truth and trying to live them out in the flawed world, which is our human home, but nevertheless a world we know God loves. We know we'll never achieve that perfect love which God has for us and which is disclosed in the life and death of Jesus, but we seek to practice it to the best of our ability. So this is usually called kingdom theology. And this is the language of Jesus when he speaks to Nicodemus in the Gospel this morning. This quest of the Christian life means that we're living in this world as citizens of the kingdom of God, seeking to build that kingdom on earth, living into that line that we say in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." So however small or large our strivings for, our contributions to this building of the kingdom here on earth, what anchors them and gives them meaning is the eternal purpose, the unchanging love of God for human beings in this world. So we're not called to spurn or turn aside from the world and its needs. Indeed, if we're going to be called to serve Christ, it means we have to engage fully in the world. But we do always have one eye at least on the presence of the eternal God as our guide. William Temple was an early 20th century theologian. He was a great proponent of this kingdom theology, and he wrote, "We can never remake the world by the world's methods." But he was the man who, in the middle of World War II, as the Archbishop of York and then the Archbishop of Canterbury in England, worked with politicians to try and create a blueprint for a better world when that war ended. He worked with politicians and policymakers to create the welfare state in Britain, so that after the war there would be a national health service, the setting of a fair wage, the opening up of higher education, a bit like the GI Bill here, and much more. So there was nothing unworldly about this man. But he saw that if we are to try and fully live out the love of God in this world, then we need to be consciously plugged into God through prayer and meditation, for example. We need to open ourselves to being shaped and formed by God so that we can do the work in the world. As my friend Vincent Strudwick puts it, we need to engage in kingdom spotting, not exactly train spotting, kingdom spotting, discerning what God is up to in the world and trying to collaborate with God in effecting it. The Christian tradition calls our participation in this process of kingdom spotting and kingdom building formation. We talk about being formed. The poet John Keats wrote of a similar process, of soul making. That was his language. And he wrote of this world as the veil of soul making. He wrote this in a letter to his brother and sister in 1819. This is how he thought about it. He referred to the raw material of a soul as an intelligence. All human beings have an intelligence, he said. But this only develops into a soul as our individual identity is forged. Of course, this soul making takes place over the span of many years. And for Keats, it requires two components: the human heart, love, and the world, our engagement with the world, with all its pain and suffering. I think what Keats gets at here is the process that creates each one of us over our lifetime. It's that constant but ever-shifting and developing relationship between the inner and the outer, the self and the world, love and suffering, the extraordinary and the mundane. This is what makes us, this relationship, this dialectic. And as Christians, we add in a third component, which is the love of God, seeking to be guided in this formation of ourselves or our souls, our actions, by a personal relationship with the divine. It strikes me that the fashioning of this practical Christian life is more deeply akin to the life of the artist, the poet, the musician, the painter, than we sometimes recognize or acknowledge. It was as a writer that Keats wrote, as a poet that he wrote. Both of these vocations, to be a Christian and to be an artist, are practical, and yet they require to the development of the inner life in the way that Keats writes of soul making. Both are creative. Both seek something beyond the self as the inspiration and guiding principle of this life. The author Madeleine L'Engle writes about this, like this: "The artist who is a Christian, like any other Christian, is required to be in this world but not of it. We are to be in this world as healers, as listeners, as servants. In art, we are once again able to do all the things we have forgotten. We're able to walk on water. We speak to the angels who call us. We move unfettered among the stars. We write, we make music, we draw pictures, because we are listening for meaning, feeling for healing. An artist at work is in a condition of complete and total faith. I would say, Phil, therefore, that both the Christian and the artist, or the Christian artist like Madeleine L'Engle, who combines both vocations, both the Christian and the artist are engaged in an open-ended adventure which leads to the transformation of their own lives and, hopefully, the transformation of the world, the building of the kingdom." So right now we're in the midst of the season of Lent. This is the second Sunday in Lent. And Lent always offers us an opportunity for a purposeful and sustained period of attention to God, also to our relationships with others and to our own lives. It's a moment when we ask how we're doing on that open-ended adventure with God. How is the soul-making going? Are we daily in touch with God through prayer or meditation or taking a walk in nature? How is our relationship with ourselves? Are we on speaking terms with all parts of ourselves? And are we on speaking terms with others and at peace in our relationships with them? Are we engaged in the world? And if not, how do we want to be? How is the kingdom spotting going? And are we alert for those signs of God's love in the world so that we can be ready to act on them and help build the kingdom of God? In other words, how are we becoming artists of the Christian life? That's a question for this Lent. How are we becoming artists of the Christian life in a condition of complete and total faith? allowing our souls to be forged and made in this world that God so loves, that we might do God's work in this world. Amen.